G'day, this is Mark Pesce. Welcome back to This Week in Startups Australia. Across 12 years, This Week in Startups Australia has charted the growth of Australia's startup ecosystem, from struggling to thriving to whatever this is now. Some parts of the ecosystem are thriving, others not so much. Times were good when everyone wanted to be in or wanted to be associated with a startup. Startups are still hot, still interesting, but some of the fire has gone out. To get that fire going again, maybe we need a spark. And to that end, Spark Festival 2025 is coming up next week. We'll have everything you need to know right after the break, coming on this episode of This Week in Startups Australia. Started a decade ago, Spark Festival is the startup community at its finest, self-organized, dedicated, and hardworking. It's very much a community affair with loads of events that are put together because people want to share what they know with others. And we don't say often in startup land that it comes from the heart, but with the Spark Festival, that is very much the case. And because it's October, it's time once again for Spark Festival. Now, it is an annual tradition to talk to the Spark Festival organizers on Twista to highlight what's coming. This year, we've lucked out. We have two great guests to do that. The first is the guardian angel of Twista, Murray Herbst. Murray made the show possible back in 2014 and has been a consistent supporter. Murray is also a board member of Spark Festival. Joining Murray is an old friend who made his first appearance on Twista back in Series 3. Paul Wallbank is well known through Australia's startup ecosystem and is this year serving as communications director for Spark Festival. Welcome back, Murray. Welcome back, Paul.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, let's start with the basics. When is Spark Festival happening?
So the Spark Festival kicks off on the 27th of October, Mark, and it goes for the whole week. We've got a great lineup of events ranging from local community events to founders' dinners, and we're hoping to get the entire community together across the board. We've got social impact events, and we've got startup founder events and funding events. So, yeah, come along.
So where is it happening?
So it's across Sydney. So we've got events happening across Western Sydney. We've got them in Parramatta and the Bradfield industrial space out near the new Western Sydney Airport. We've got events happening up in Newcastle and on the northern beaches of Sydney, but primarily most of the events are happening in the Sydney CBD, around Tech Central, around Barangaroo, and in the CBD itself.
And where do folks go if they want to learn more about the Spark Festival?
So that's sparkfestival.co. So I'll repeat that, sparkfestival.co, all one word for Spark Festival.
Excellent. So Murray, Spark Festival has a statement with some themes that they've outlined that they want to focus on. Can I walk through these with you? We'll start with the first one, which is founding and raising connects founders with investors, corporates and policymakers. That's the festival's bread and butter. What does that mean in practice?
So for me, For me, entrepreneurship is about privilege. And I use that word really carefully because privilege is something bad and something good, potentially, if it is shared. So the privilege that is shared ideally is this connectivity. So having free events that people can walk in off the street and be part of and be connected to all kinds of skills and investment sources and support from different angles or other people that are doing entrepreneurial things. That spark of initial access to things is, in a dream world, what would be happening at every single one of these events.
All right. Now, we're going to be talking a lot, I think, at Spark about agentic economy, practical AI, because we're now sort of rounding the corner on that, educating the community on opportunities and risks. Are there any specific events that you know of that highlight that are happening at Spark?
That's the tricky thing. It is, I think we're over 100 events now, and it's hard to, it's like picking a favorite child. But the kind of proliferation of AI-focused things is an obvious theme, which is, again, is good, because as interesting models become more and more expensive and difficult to access for everyone, this kind of access to, oh, that thing is being used in this way to do this thing, is again, like we've gone through the age of the digital divide. We're now in the age of the AI divide that is going to be a massive problem. And seeing all of these free events that are all about AI, a lot of them, is a great solution to that, I think.
And on the AI front, one of our Western Sydney events that we've got at Parramatta, where we're looking at a Western Sydney community conversation around AI, whether it's friend, foe, or frenemy, and we'll be launching that out of Parramatta on the 30th, on the Thursday. Just while I'm on the Parramatta events too, we've got a really interesting one around motherhood and startups, life and leadership. And that's on the Wednesday, again out at Parramatta, at North Parramatta, at the Western Sydney Startup Hub, and we've got two great female speakers talking about the challenges there. So that comes back to what I was saying before about we're trying to touch every point of the startup ecosystem. So the challenges, not just at the high level with funding and so on, but also those the day-to-day grind of things like managing, balancing parenthood and running a growth business.
And I mean, this is just a point. I went to a pitching competition at South by Southwest Sydney yesterday. There's two women and one man. And both of the women were so much better than the man. This is not that the man did a fine job, right? But the women were stellar, like stellar. And I think part of what we're starting to see is we now need to think about all of the equity issues that are involved in gender. And of course, motherhood is one of them. Family is one of them. Because we know that when we tap that pool of talent, the results are just outstanding. All right. So, Murray, we have this idea of Spark startup teams to build networks for employees beyond founders and nourishing startups as career paths. And of course, that's very much what you're about. So how does that come into practice at Spark?
So this was driven by Harry Godbert in terms of seeing the opportunity for all these growing, interesting tech companies whose employees maybe don't connect with each other as much as they could. You have these little monocultures of you work at Atlassian or Canva or whatever else. And to break out of that, there isn't a great solution for the moment. So this was a deliberate effort to focus on that and make sure that the teams within startups have a reason to come together as well.
Oh, that's brilliant. And you're right, because all of the, if you're in a very high growth startup, it's all focused inward. Right.
Yes.
And you need that excuse. All right. Now, what are we doing around sustainability and impact?
On sustainability and impact, one of the big areas, as I mentioned before, we're looking at the challenges on the, if you like, the micro level of the personal challenges for startups and people running high growth businesses. But we're also looking at some of the bigger issues too, like one of the things we're doing is a housing affordability lunch where we're getting a range of politicians, both present and former, together to discuss some of the big challenges facing Sydney in particular, but it's a problem across the world at the moment about housing affordability, and certainly that to me is one of the big handbrakes on building businesses, is if founders can't afford a place to live, then it becomes a real problem. And you can't take risks if you're beholden to a high rent or mortgage. It's really difficult to go out and start building that business. We're also looking at some of the issues around the aging population. And again, that also touches on the diversity of startups as well, that it's not just an area for 20 and 30 something white affluent males. It's across genders, it's across age groups and so on, that we've got a lot happening there. So a range of things there are touching on all parts of the startup community and many of the issues that are being faced.
All right. Now, Murray, what is the Spark Investment Network?
So investors like to hide You may have noticed, especially like relatively good ones, and they'll expect if you can track them down or if you have a referral into them, then that's a sign that they should be talking to you. Personally, I think that's a little bit problematic because it reinforces networks and investment opportunities are wasted because of it. And we live in the world's most geographically dispersed startup ecosystem in Australia. The average distance between each startup is about 700 kilometers, according to Startup Muster data, if you take the average of all the locations of startups. So wouldn't it be nice if you do a little bit to break that down and have the investors that are good investors and are willing to be present and meet people and break down some of those barriers? So directly addressing that.
So it's really about people coming together to be in the same room so they can eyeball each other.
100%. And build, as always, connectivity between the investors and between the startups that are working on their investments as well.
Now, I know that you said you didn't want to pick a favorite child, Murray. However, I would ask both of you, if you were just going to pick one session that you were going to go to, which one might it be? Murray, Paul, who wants to have a whack at that?
Well, I would look at the one that I mentioned earlier, the AI, whether it's a frenemy or an ally, because one of the functions of that is that we're looking at how it's affecting ordinary businesses, ordinary communities. So it's not just a focus on driving your own startup, because, of course, AI for startups is a huge thing. Where I even heard talk this morning at a talk I was at with the zero-person startup, because you have AI
bots
doing the whole thing. Yeah. AI is going to have huge impact across communities, and this is the sort of thing that we need to be talking about. So that would be my favourite one, the one at North Parramatta at the Western Sydney Startup Hub.
I'll throw a curveball, because everyone listening to this right now, to this audio, if I could be in a room full of those people, that would be, I'd be happy for the rest of my life. I suspect my wife and kids won't listen, but we'll add them in as well. But for me, those opening and closing events for Spark end up being that bunch of people as well. So to bring everyone together and have some solidarity and reconnection of all the people that are working to make things better is a wonderful thing as well.
And where and when are the opening and closing events?
The closing one is at UTS Startups in the event space. The opening one, Paul.
And yes, Murray, the opening celebration will be at the Collider on Pitt Street in Tech Central, and that's on Monday, the 27th of October at 6 p.m. So come along. We've got Malcolm Turnbull, the former Prime Minister, speaking at that. And tickets are selling fast for that. I shouldn't say selling, because it's all events at Spark Festival are complimentary. So registrations are filling up really quickly. So anyone listening that wants to get along, go to the Spark Festival site and sign up as soon as you can for that.
Okay, so if someone who's listening to this when it comes out will go, okay, how do I get across this? So they'll go to the Spark Festival site, which is spark.co, right? They'll start there. And then there's a schedule of events there, and they'll map out which events and which locations, correct? Because that's important. It's not just happening in one place. It's quite diffuse. So should we invite people to maybe spend a half an hour or an hour sometime over the next week doing that to figure out where and when they need to be somewhere?
Great. Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is the thing with all of festivals like this, is that it's very diverse. There's lots of locations. And certainly just looking at the opening event, that's at Tech Central. Events that day, we've got Barangaroo at the other part of Sydney CBD, and we've got events coming up right across the CBD that day. And then the following day, we have events in Newcastle. So there's events all over the place. So probably best to plan it out.
All right, final question. So Murray, you've seen Spark Festival start from sort of a small idea that Maxine was bringing into being to being this thing now. It had a whole bunch of government support, doesn't have as much now. It's kind of doing it on its own. It's leaving the community to do it on its own. And we'll come to that after the break. What would you say is the ideal trajectory for Spark Festival, not just in 2025, but in 26, 27, 28?
It is more needed now than ever before. And that is something people say too much. But as technology gets better, organizations get smaller, if you look at transaction costs and what impact that has on the size of organizations. And that is happening. We've got record company registrations in Australia and around the world. It will be a thing. And instead of relying on the traditional pathways that we've had, we need this. We need people being driven to connect into and across the ecosystem that enables people to start their own companies and do the things that technology enables. So Spark is more needed now than ever before. It will need to be larger. It will need to be geographically larger and numerically larger, and in terms of topics, larger. And I look forward to continuing that every year from here.
And if I could just jump in there too, one of the important things I think that Spark brings is that the real successful community events aren't exactly that, they're community events. For instance, at the time of recording, we've got South by Southwest Sydney going on. And if you look at the original South by Southwest, it was a community event driven from the grassroots up. Having the big events being dictated from the top, it doesn't really work. They really have to come from the grassroots. I was at a South Start event just recently. Again, similar things in South Australia. They're building that ecosystem up around from the grassroots. And really, this is what Spark is about, a grassroots, a growing of the organic community.
And finally, Paul, that URL is?
It is sparkfestival.co.
You're listening to This Week in Startups Australia. We'll be right back. Welcome back to This Week in Startups Australia. We're in conversation with Spark Festival board member Murray Herps and communications director Paul Wallbank. Murray, I want to execute a bit of a pivot here. I want to talk about some recent very big changes to Sydney's startup ecosystem. So after 7 wonderful years, the hub on York Street has closed. This is a huge loss to the ecosystem. Everyone has agreed on that. Partially because it was a central point for all things startup. And not just for Sydney, but for the nation. What's going on?
It's hard to argue with that as a expression of what it was. I have vivid memories of standing outside the hospital when my daughter was born, saying ni hao via live stream to Shanghai as Fishburners opened there, while also negotiating Fishburners Brisbane and being involved in the setup of what turned out to be Sydney Startup Hub. There was an incredible amount of work that went into Sydney Startup Hub, and a confluence of events in terms of Fishburners needing space and Stone and Chalk needing space and Tankstream needing space and all these corporate innovation programs that wanted to expand. And there were literally 2 buildings in Sydney with a decent floor plate that were remotely affordable. One of them was being knocked down in 2 years' time, and the other was Wynyard Green. And you will never find 14,000 meters of affordable space in Sydney ever again. It is just not going to be a thing. And it was a miracle, like, to see something that ended up costing about $5 million a year, supporting thousands of entrepreneurs who created tens of thousands of jobs, and the real impact of entrepreneurs is on productivity uplift, not on the direct job creation. So you could say billions in actual productivity uplift from those companies as well, for that 35 million. I think anything that expresses that as a waste of money, I think any economist will argue strongly with, and I will argue strongly with. So it's a long way of saying there was a lot of work that went into it. I was extremely lucky that it came together. And I think it is a giant loss. I think there were things that should have been done differently. And everyone will say that about any project when it hits the real world. COVID has been difficult. Use of co-working spaces has been difficult. Corporate innovation budgets have disappeared. But the need for people to come together to feel normal in what they're doing and have a magnetic effect through the concentration of activity. You'll have a certain number of conversations each day. Isn't it nice if they're all with people that might be helpful to you? and what you can attract as a group that you couldn't by yourself, what you can share as a group that you couldn't achieve by yourself. It doesn't need an argument for it. It should
And
be self-evident.
the joke for a while was that if you needed funding, you would just go plant yourself in the cafe co-working space for a day or two, and you'd have the conversations that would at least start you on that path, right? It was a joke, but it was also manifestly true. Paul, what do you think?
I'm going to really reinforce what Murray's just said. Now, as you said in the intro to this, that I've been around the startup community for a long time, almost as long as Murray. And we've seen this in so many different guises that we had the Australian Technology Campus out at Everleigh for some years. Then we've had the Startup Hub at Wynyard, and now we've got Tech Central. Australian governments have to understand that you need a long-term, if you're serious about building these ecosystems, you need a long-term commitment. And at the moment, this is not just the New South Wales government, this is all of the state governments and particularly the federal government, that it cannot rely on the brain farts of a ministerial staffer or a minister or or somebody that they've gone to lunch with saying, hey, let's do this wonderful project and throw everything previously in the bin. You're seeing this at the moment, the federal government's Future Made in Australia program. If you're serious about rebuilding Australia's manufacturing industry, that is a four it's taken 40 years to dismantle the old one. It's going to take 40 years to rebuild the new one. It needs to be bipartisan. There has to be a long-term vision and a long-term map here that isn't subject to not even government vagaries, because we often see these programs get ditched when a minister changes or a premier or a prime minister changes, and you are not going to succeed in building these ecosystems. And on top of that, you are going to scare away investors and people who are committed to building and investing in the country. That if there's no real certainty here, so I'd really strongly endorse what Murray says here, that we need long-term plans. And finally, just to finish my rant on this, we need consultation as well. These things keep being done without any discussion with the communities. None of the stakeholders are invited to these things, and they're given out as a fait accompli. You see them on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald or the Daily Telegraph, or announced on 2GB. And that is not the way to build a community.
All right, I feel we're going to have a moment just to mourn the hub. But Murray, just before the hub closed, you opened the doors to the working co-working space at UTS Startups. Could you tell us about that?
It is definitely no replacement for Sydney's Startup Hub. And this is the thing. I think there is, obviously, because of all of this, a role to play of independent organizations that have some endurance to them, that can set up things and have them run and be around for 10, 20 years, like ATP and Cicada or other versions that are evident. Within a university context, to have 250 desks of high quality incubator space on the busiest street corner in Sydney, with an event space with fantastic AV gear that is open to the public as well, and have something that immediately has 400 applications to it and can be interestingly filled with lots of companies that have common domains of discourse. So there's lots of AI companies, there's lots of deep tech companies. They are all very early stage. So we're setting limits on the size of companies that can stay around, and they will be moved into the Scale-Up Hub or other locations nearby. We've got wonderful AI systems that connect people to each other. So you walk into the space, it'll say, go sit in that desk because we know you're looking for this, and Mark is wonderful at that, and he'll be able to help you with that. The notifications about events that are going on, the kind of availability of what you're looking for in a space is what makes it useful rather than the space itself. So that said, 250 desks is no replacement for 4,000, but it is, like, through a strange Bradbury moment, the largest early stage startup incubator that is now running in Sydney, which is depressing. And also, that's what we're dealing with. So we're moving on at full speed. We are 100% funded by UTS. So this is the university investing into this to build something that drives better
Against the
industry engagement.
headwinds of their own financial issues as well, which is showing a degree of resolve and commitment that perhaps other organizations have not.
100%. They are in the largest kind of financial crisis that I think they've ever faced, at least that I can remember. And to do this in a way that then answers the question of, for all the 45,000 students at UTS, how are they engaging with AI and emerging industry opportunities? Hey, they go in that building, they do internships and in subject projects or start their own companies. Or how is this university engaging with industry that's emerging? Hey, they just walk over and walk into that building and have access to all these people doing wonderful things. It is an answer to those questions. It is necessary and we are doing it.
And it is an ornament on UTS. All right, Murray, Paul, thank you for joining us on This Week in Startups Australia. It's incredibly important to have events like Spark Festival. And we're incredibly lucky that we have a community who are prepared to step up and put something like this together on their own, unpaid, just because this they know is the right thing to do. Just knowing it's the right thing to do is a great start, but we aren't saints. We can't be expected to handle the load ourselves year after year. If the culture as a whole doesn't decide that this is important, that this is worth some level of sacrifice. And let's face it, the sacrifices are almost always modest, and the benefits always tend to be outsized to any sacrifices. If cultures, if governments, if civilizations aren't prepared to do that, then they don't really have any right to be shocked or upset when their productivity collapses, or their economy stalls, or their children can't find the jobs for the future, because all of those things are the benefits of innovation. We know this because the Nobel Prize in Economics in 2025 went to the people who worked out the economic theory of innovation. And that tells you what we're doing here is of global importance. Thanks to Murray Herps and Paul Wallbank for joining us on this episode. We've got a decade of great stories from founders on our website at twistartupsaus.com. It has everything. It has all the shows, all the interviews, all the photos, all the links to all the stories. So check it out at twistartupsaus.com. We'll be back next week with an electrifying startup from across the Tasman. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor for This Week in Startups Australia, please drop us a note at the website at twistartupsaus.com. And if you like this show, please follow it on your favorite podcasting app so you can stay up to date with everything that's happening in Australia's startup ecosystem. Until next week, this is Mark Pesce, thanking you for listening.